Welcome to Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This is Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.
Good morning. I enjoyed the song service today. Those are worshipful songs that we sang. And even though we don't know the exact date of our Lord's birth, this is a time of the season that we certainly can set aside and remember his birth and think about just this time of the year and what a wonderful thing it was that Jesus Christ was born into this world. And anyway, appreciate the prayer and Brother Richard's remarks. Our great high priest, he not only made the offering, he is the offering. He was the offering for our sins. Well, this morning I want to turn our attention away from the book of 2 Samuel, the life of David. Some of you mentioned this morning you're looking forward to, you know, finishing that up. But let's shift gears this morning and think about Jesus Christ and his birth. And I want to talk to you about the notable miracles surrounding the birth of Jesus Christ, because there were many miracles that occurred at his birth and during the time of his birth. And sometimes we can read the Bible and the supernatural, the things that God has done that man cannot do, sometimes are things that we just maybe take for granted, or we forget to remember how great those things are that God has done. And so this morning, let's look at that. I'm going to read some scriptures that speak about the birth of Jesus Christ and the other miracles that surrounded his birth. We're going to go first to the book of Matthew, because the first notable miracle that I want to talk about this morning was his birth. The birth of Jesus Christ was a virgin birth, and that is a very notable miracle. That was mentioned in the Old Testament. It was prophesied, and so we read it actually transpiring and coming to pass in the book of Matthew is one of the places that we read about that. And so an angel comes and appears to Mary and tells her about it. And anytime an angel comes and speaks, you know a miracle is about to happen, right? Every time we read in the Bible, an angel appears to some unsuspecting mortal, then we realize that something miraculous is about to happen, and God is letting it be known to people down here what he is about to do is a miracle about to happen. And so in Matthew 1:18, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise when, as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now, most of us understand what it means in that day when they were espoused. They were not yet married. They were engaged. And she was found to be expecting a child. And this was something that we're going to see in just a moment. Joseph didn't understand this. Mary now was understanding it because the angel was speaking to her about what was happening. And Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. And so while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife. And he knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus, which of course means Savior. It also means Jehovah saved. Now it is a notable miracle when a virgin conceives and brings forth a son. And as we read in the scriptures how this event actually transpired, it was by the Holy Ghost. The angel appeared unto Mary, told her about what was going to happen, that the Holy Ghost will overshadow thee, and that you've been found blessed among women because you are the very person that God has chosen to be the mother of Jesus Christ. And she was amazed, felt unworthy that God would use her in this way. And I'm kind of wonder sometimes when you read about this, why didn't she tell Joseph all about this? You know, sometimes men and women don't communicate like they should, or maybe they hadn't had this conversation, or she didn't know what to say about it. But, you know, we read that the angel appeared and told Joseph as well what was happening, so that Joseph would understand that this female, this woman that he loved and he was going to marry, hadn't done anything ungodly. This was not an ungodly act, but it was something that God was doing. And Joseph understood it, and there were still, even in that day, them knowing everything about it, there was a lot of perplexity in their minds. One, nothing like this had ever happened. That's why it's such a miracle. Nothing like this had ever happened. Nobody knew of anything like this. How could we even believe that such a miracle is going to happen? Can you imagine the people that lived around them, if they tried to say, well, really, this is what happened. The Holy Ghost overshadowed my wife, and she has conceived a son, and he is of the Holy Ghost, and he is verily God manifested in the flesh. You know, there were a lot of rumors going around. There were a lot of things being said about Mary, said about Joseph, and this kind of a stigma thing followed them, and we're going to see this is another miracle that God was doing, the way God was doing this, that followed them. So when you think of a woman conceiving of the Holy Spirit and being a virgin, this is a one-time event. And most miracles that we read about, if you read about a miracle, even though there are some that are similar, like women being barren, having children, but what the child is going to become, these are one-time events when these miracles happen in the lives of God's people. Well, Joseph loved her very much, as I mentioned, and rather than putting her away, as he could have done, he realized what had happened, and so he kept that relationship, and he wanted to be the father of this child, even though he didn't understand everything about it, and he wanted to be married to this woman that he loved. And so we see love in the midst of all of this that's going on. Well, not only was that a miracle, but the birth of John the Baptist is a miracle as well. And as we read about his birth, it was also a miracle from heaven, and it's occurring within 6 months of the birth of Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it was 6 months prior to the birth of Jesus Christ that John the Baptist was born. So we go over to the Gospel of Luke, and we read about this other notable miracle that occurred. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zechariah of the course of Abiah, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. Now, they're both Levites. He has a task that he performs in the temple, and he's going to carry on this task as we read about this. We're first introduced to who they were and what their position was in the temple and how that the Lord had chosen these people to carry out this birth of the person who is going to be the primary heralder of the birth of Jesus Christ and who he was. John the Baptist was the proclaimer, the first proclaimer, that this is the Son of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And, you know, we talk about how that, you know, we're all sinners and we're saved by God's grace, and how that many times God uses ungodly people like Saul of Tarsus. But I do find in the scriptures that when people live a life that's honorable unto God, the Lord uses them many times in very special ways. So let us not put righteousness aside when we're talking about serving the Lord. You know, I'm thankful that God, he has to use sinners. They were obviously sinners in this regard. They weren't perfect people. But they were people that were faithful to God's house. They were faithful worshipers of God. They were faithful in the performance of the task. And I always like to remember this about these two people that were the parents of John the Baptist, is that they, I always like to say, stay at the altar and the blessings will come. Let us be faithful to the house of God if we're looking for blessings. And that's one of the reasons I always think about, I don't want to miss church. I got too many prayers I need answered. I'm praying that the Lord will at least look upon something good that I've done in my life and remember that when I approach the throne of grace. And so they were walking in the ordinance of the Lord blameless, and they had no child because Elizabeth was barren. So we've got another miracle on the scene here, and it's going to be the birth of John the Baptist. And they both were now stricken in years, so they're too old. One person said they thought they were 99 years old. It's the same story, basically, as the story of Abraham and Sarah, where the Lord blessed Sarah to have a son when they were well stricken in age. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, according to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense when he went into the temple of the Lord. So here is his job. He's faithfully performing this job. And let us remember that, as Brother Richard said, during the times of Christ, that these people, it was during a time of, you might say, apostasy in Israel. You know, you had the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they had written their own, you know, oral tradition of the law. A lot of the truth that was being taught had been, they put gates around some of God's law, and it wasn't anything like Moses, God had given to Moses when they first began to worship God in the Old Testament. It was a time kind of falling away, But these people were faithful in going to God's house and performing the duty that God had called upon them to do, which was to burn incense as he went into the temple of the Lord. And the whole multitude of people were praying it without at the time of incense. And there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of incense. So here we got another angel. And as I said, when angels appear, miracles happen. And this angel is about to tell him that he is going to have a child at in his old age, when he is well stricken in his years. His wife is going to bear him a son. And he begins to tell him what kind of son that this is going to be. Not just any kind of son. I mean, this is going to be a special person that God is going to use in a very powerful way. Remember, Jesus himself said, "What went you out to see? A reed shaken in the wind? There has not been a greater than John the Baptist." So Jesus spoke very highly himself of John the Baptist. And so the angel was standing on the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. And I imagine any of us, if we were to have an angel appear before us, that we would have that same feeling. You know, angels are austere creatures, that when they're not these little floating cherubs that we see in these pictures sometimes. These are austere creatures that when they appear before mortals, that it has this tendency to strike fear into the heart of any person. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." That's a wonderful message of the New Testament, isn't it? Fear not. You know, you look into the Old Testament and it's all fear. But in the New Testament, we are told to fear not because our King is coming. And the angel told him to fear not. She's going to have a son. You call him John, and they all shall have great joy and gladness. Many shall rejoice at his birth, for he shall be great in the sight of the Lord and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. He's going to be a Nazarite. He shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb. And many of the children shall be turned to the Lord their God. He shall go before him, before Christ, in the power of Elias, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. They're going to be making ready a people prepared to receive the gospel message and to be the very beginning of the New Testament church. And so we see that he didn't believe it, even though an angel had spoken to him. He said, "I am Gabriel that stand in the presence of God to show these things. And thou shalt be dumb and not able to speak till the day of these things shall be performed, because thou believest not my words." Well, there's another miracle right there, is that here is a man that's not able to speak anymore. He goes into the temple speaking. He comes out, and the people are without the temple, and he's beckoning them with their hands, trying to make them understand what he's saying. And they realize that something miraculous has happened to him when he was in the temple, and now he cannot speak until this child is born. And God opened his mouth and asked what his name would be, and his wife had all these other names, are going to name John the Baptist. And the first thing he said is, "No, his name is going to be John," because God had told him that's what his name is going to be. That'd help a lot of parents, wouldn't it? If God would just tell you what to name your kids, you wouldn't have to have all these arguments whether it's going to be your grandmother or her grandmother, or, you know, your grand, whatever, you know. God would just tell you, this is what the name is going to be. Right. Well, John knew what his name was going to be, and so there was a miracle. Well, there's another miracle about John the Baptist. You know, you begin to look at all these miracles unfolding. One of the miracles of John the Baptist is he was born of God's Spirit in his mother's womb.
That's right.
There's another notable miracle. I mean, I don't read that anywhere in the Bible before this, that any person is born of God's Spirit in their mother's womb. Although I do believe many were,
yes.
But I believe this is the first one that we learn about in the Bible that was actually born of God's Spirit in his mother's womb. Now, once we can understand and grasp this miracle, then we can grasp the miracle of how everybody is born of God's Spirit. Everybody that's born of God's Spirit, it is a miracle.
That's right.
It is something that God does sovereignly by his Holy Spirit when we are overshadowed by the Holy Spirit and we're born again. So we read this miracle. It says, "In 6 months, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee," this is Luke 1:26, "named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man." Now this is Mary. So when the angel comes to Mary, and the angel came to her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast her mind in what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, thou hast found favor with God. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea and entered into the house of Zechariah and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when, and this is her cousin, by the way, so she's going to her cousin's. She's going to go visit with her cousin about all this. And so Elizabeth is already 6 months pregnant with John the Baptist. And it says, and as soon when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. So Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, which is another notable miracle. But as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in my ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Now, not only is she overshadowed with the Holy Spirit, but the baby that was in her womb leapt for joy. And as we always say, joy is a what? Fruit of the Spirit. So if you got a baby leaping for joy in its mother's womb, then you know this baby has been born again. Somebody might say, well, how in the world can a baby be filled with joy in his mother's womb? A notable miracle. You know, that's what we have, is a notable miracle. So we've got all these miracles occurring that we understand and believe as Christians. You know, I can't remember myself leaping in my mother's womb for joy. As a matter of fact, I don't remember being in my mother's womb. I remember, you know, maybe I was 2 years old, a few things about that. But this is something that God has recorded. So here is another notable miracle. And so every time a person is born of God's Spirit, it is a notable miracle. So God's still in the miracle business, folks. People are still being born of His Spirit, and every time He does it, it is a miracle. It is a miracle. Well, the next miracle is something that I wrote about. If you got our church newsletter this week, I wrote about the star that led the wise men to the place where Jesus was. And there's a lot going on right now concerning the what they call the Christmas star. It's they're, you know, comparing it to the star that led the wise men to Jesus Christ. Let me just read a little bit about this in Matthew 2. It says, Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star, notice it says his star, in the east, and are come to worship him. And lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were coming to the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And by the way, giving is an object of worship. It's one of the ways that we worship the Lord. And so these wise men, they were looking for this miracle and this star that was going to appear and lead them to this king. And as I read about the star and the star that, you know, everybody's looking at right now, which is, they've referred to it as the Christmas star or the Star of Bethlehem, and actually it's Jupiter and Saturn, and they're going to align tomorrow night, isn't it, right after sunset, maybe 45 minutes after sunset, and they're referring to it. Well, you know, I know there's a lot of, this can cause us to think a lot about the star, but you know, there are some things about this that are not really the same. One is that those aren't stars anyway, they're planets. Saturn and Jupiter are both planets. They don't, a star makes its own light, and a planet reflects the light of the sun or some other celestial being. So we know that this is not the same star that led the wise men to Jesus Christ. But there was a star that led, which was a miraculous star. This is a miracle I'm getting at right now, that led the wise men to the place where Jesus lay. And somebody might say, well, you know, it's hard for me to believe that here is a star that actually moved and God made it just for this thing But as I said, it is a what?
Miracle.
A miracle. This is a miraculous star that God created for this one intended purpose.
That's right.
You know, this thing that we're going to see tomorrow night, if we're able to see it, which I hope we can, I'm going to hope to see it. It's got a fixed motion in the universe. The star that led the wise men to Jesus Christ was not a fixed motion or orbit in the solar system, but it moved in a way that would lead that these wise men could follow this thing to where Jesus Christ was. And I began to wonder about how they knew about this star. You know, if you read about this and you know, it seems that nobody in Jerusalem, the high priest doesn't know about it. The Sadducees don't know about it. The Pharisees don't know about it. Gamaliel doesn't know about it. The Apostle Paul's not, or Saul of Tarsus isn't looking for it. But you got these people that come out of nowhere, and we're not even really sure exactly where they came from. And I read some commentaries on that. Some say they came out of this place. Some say they came out of that place. But we really don't even know what place they came out of. But we do know that it was several days' journey, maybe longer than that. And by the way, this thing that we're going to see tomorrow night is only going to be for a few days, so it couldn't have been the same thing. This star apparently led them for many, many, many days to get to this place. And so we wonder where these people came from. All I know is they were people that believed in God, and they believed in the scriptures, and they were looking for Jesus Christ. And, you know, that's something, a picture to me, a beautiful picture of the Church of Jesus Christ is as we value the Word of God. And for how many generations are we still looking for the second coming of Jesus Christ? You know, we are a people just like these wise men were, that there's been something written that we're looking to. We haven't changed our opinion on it. It's still dear to every one of us. And it's a sad testimony of the Jews in that day that they weren't even looking for their king or even knowledgeable that there was a star that's going to come and lead them to the king. But we know when Jesus Christ comes what we're looking for, don't we? We're looking in the sky. He's supposed to come back in the clouds. He said the angels told the people there when Jesus Christ ascended on high that he will come in like manner. So there is a scripture in the Old Testament that I looked at, and it's in Numbers 24:17. It's when we find that Israel was going to be cursed by a false prophet. And it says, I shall see him, but not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy the children of Sheth. Now that was written about 1,500 years by Moses. He wrote the first five books of the Bible. But it was written 1,500 years before the birth of Jesus Christ. And these wise men were patiently waiting for the birth of Christ and for this star. That's not a lot of information sometimes you get in the Old Testament. You'll find just an obscure passage. And you're trying to look at that and say, how did they get all of this out of that obscure passage? Well, I guess that was a miracle, wasn't it? It was a miracle that they understood it, but it's very possible that there was a lot more written about it that was not preserved by the Lord, but there's enough here to tell us about it. So, you know, there are books of the scriptures that are not preserved that we do not have today that have been destroyed, but God's given us enough for us to know who Christ is and who we are and about our redemption. So the star was a supernatural occurrence, and it's interesting that when people try to explain away something supernatural by something natural, and that's kind of the idea I got when they're calling the alignment of these planets as the Star of Bethlehem or the Christmas Star, and it's kind of like they're explaining away a supernatural star that was created by God for a special purpose by something that just occurs in the solar system every so many hundred years.
Right.
This thing it doesn't occur every so hundred years. It occurred one time, and so it was a notable miracle. So anyway, I am going to look at it, and I do believe it's a beautiful picture of God's creation, but I'm not expecting anything different to occur. But if it did, I would be perfectly happy with it if the Lord came back on that day. Call me a liar, false prophet, but I'll be glad if he comes, but I'm not looking for anything special. Well, another thing on the a side note, maybe on the nativity scenes. I put this in the church newsletter as well, and they're a wonderful reminder of our Lord's birth. Don't get me wrong, but there's some things about it that are not exactly scriptural. When the wise men finally got to Jesus Christ, you'll notice that he was already in a house. So in the nativity scene, we see these wise men coming, and Jesus is laying, there's baby Jesus in the manger, and the wise men and the camels are standing around Jesus and presenting the gifts. Well, Jesus, when they got there, he was already in a house, so we know it was several days before they even got there. Another thing is that there's usually three wise men, but the Bible doesn't say three wise men, it just says wise men, plural. So we really don't know how many wise men there were. There could have been anywhere from, I guess, 3 to 30. I don't know how many came, but there was more than one or two, and they came, and they usually would think of it as three because there were three gifts that were given. And so that's kind of how they get that idea that everybody had a gift, but we don't really know how many came. It doesn't say three. I think if it had been three, it would have said three wise men. But anyway, that's another thing about the nativity scene. Another thing about another miracle of Jesus Christ is basically the humility of his birth. You think about God being manifested in the flesh, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Messiah that they were looking for, the greatest of the greatest, if there's any other way that we could praise him this morning, how that the Lord kept his, you might say his identity somewhat secret until his baptism by John in the River Jordan. And John would say, "Behold, the Lamb of God, as I mentioned, that taketh away the sin of the world." And the Holy Spirit ascended from on high in the form of a dove. And the heavenly and the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." This is the revealing of Jesus Christ. It was immediately after his baptism that Satan led him away in the wilderness. It was almost as if Satan himself had blinders on as to who he was after he was born into this world. Now, at first, he knew where he was because in the humility of his birth, as she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. There was no room for him in the inn. And as this great event occurs in the midst of this entire nation, they really don't even know who he is. He is born in a poor family, a very poor man. And of course, the Jews, all of them felt that when their Messiah would come, and by the way, they're still looking for him. When he comes, he's going to be like this aristocrat. He's going to be born into this great family. He's going to be very wealthy. He's not going to be this poor person. He's going to be a very notable character when he comes into this world. That was one of the things that God did, to hide him in such a way that he would become of age and be able to proclaim his own gospel. And so all of these things that are going on in the nation, you know, the scandal surrounding his birth, the angels, all the things that are happening with the angels appearing and telling people things, all these stories that are going around. And after his birth, the wise men first come to Herod. And what does Herod want to do? Kill him. And Herod had all those babies murdered, was it from 2 years under, so that he wouldn't miss any. I mean, he wasn't just going to try to kill one or two babies. He killed every baby he could find. That didn't bother his conscience any, hoping that this person's going to rise up and become a king, and it's going to be somebody that's going to dethrone him of his power. And so in all of this going on, Jesus Christ is born in the midst of a very humble surroundings. His parents flee for his life and go into Egypt, and then he is lost in the mix of events and grows up obscure and unknown to the world. That is a miracle. That is a great miracle that God performed in the birth of Jesus Christ and bringing him to this place that he would be able to preach his own gospel. Well, there's one other miracle that I want to mention, and that is the angels that appeared at the birth of Jesus Christ. You know, the shepherds were in the field, and I'll just read this to you in Luke 2 and 9. The angel of the Lord came upon them. This is one angel that came upon the shepherds in the field. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And again, they were afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all kinds of people, or all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. This shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Now there was at first one angel, that's a notable miracle, the angel appearing unto shepherds in a field. And he didn't go into the metropolis of the city, not where there would be thousands and thousands of people hearing this message, but goes out into the field and begins to make this proclamation. And then this angel is making this proclamation. It's almost as if the heavenly host could restrain themselves no more. They've been waiting for this great event to occur, and suddenly a multitude of the heavenly host begins to praise God from on high. Can you imagine what that sounded like? It must have been beautiful. A multitude, by the way, is thousands and thousands and thousands of angels. What a notable miracle on that night when they began to praise God and sing glory to God. This was a worship scene that has been unparalleled since that day. But I believe there's another one coming.
Yes, sir.
And they're coming back, and they're going to sing again, and we're going to be singing with them on this one. Amen. That's going to be a great time. That's going to be another notable miracle that we're looking forward to when Jesus Christ comes back to receive his people. And he's not going to come down here and set his foot on this earth. He's going to meet us in the sky, and he's going to call us and beckon us to be with him, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In Hebrews 1:6, it says, And again, when he bringeth in the firstborn into the world, he saith, And let all the angels of God worship him. And they did. And so should we. Every day of our lives, in whatever way we can, we should be worshipful of the Lord Jesus Christ and remember all of the many miracles that occurred at his birth.
Thank you for visiting Harmony Primitive Baptist Church. This has been Elder Neil Phelan, Jr., preaching from regular Sunday morning services.